Kim Gappett is the first warden, and that's similar to the town council president of the town of New Shoreham in Rhode Island, and that's Block Island. She was recently elected to her 8th two-year term on the town council. She also served, obviously, as the town's representative in the SAMP process. Kim also worked with Deepwater Wind as part of this process, and that's the developer of the 5-8 turbine project in state water near Block Island. Kim's a lifelong resident of Block Island and the director of the Ocean View Foundation, a nonprofit environmental education foundation, and she's also a master bander at the Block Island Banding Station.
Well, thanks for being invited, and I will say that I am not an expert in any of this. I am a local town official that happened to be on the stage of Block Island when offshore wind development started becoming interesting in the state of Rhode Island. And I'm also not a great PowerPoint person, so I have one PowerPoint slide, which Dave very nicely put up there. But just to help, I think in order for me to, some of my comments and lessons learned to be effective, I really need to give you as much background as I can in just a few moments. So, what you're seeing in the yellow and black line is the what we call the SAMP study area. It's about 20 miles off of the mainland coast of Rhode Island. And that's the area that was being used for this ocean spatial zoning of the ocean, if you will. And it's the study area, and it's full of ocean except for one big chunk of rock, which is, I don't know if this is, but the island is Block Island, and that's my hometown. And when I went to my first stakeholder meeting, basically somebody said there, well, there's nothing in the SAMP area. Nobody lives there. And so even though Block Island has had a year-round population since the 1600s, still had to edify our own state that people actually live there. So we have basically, on Block Island, we do not have our electric utility is from a privately owned diesel generating power company. We have a year-round population of about 1,000 people. We have a summer population that can be as much as 15 to 20,000 people. I think you instantly see the problems there, problems of scale. In the peak of our summer season on a hot day when all the beer coolers are running, we have a peak demand of about 4.5 megawatts of power. So that sort of gives us the physical parameters. We're about 12 miles off of the coast. And key to all of this is, I may have mentioned it already, but we do not have a cable that connects us to the mainland for power. We are solely independent. Around 2007 or so, the state got interested, our governor got interested in renewable energy and wanting renewable energy, just like many states, to produce a certain percentage of the state's power, about 15%, and maybe shifting upwards, but that was initially the goal, that 15% of the state's power come from a renewable source. And he tasked a renewable offshore wind task group early on. They did a study at the statewide level, and they came out with the perfect solution, which was basically about 140 wind turbines a half a mile south of Block Island. And that would be great for the state. They were not so well received on Block Island with that overview. Fortunately, the first time they came to give their presentation, the wind was so bad that there were no boats and planes and they couldn't come. So it did at least tell us we have a good wind resource. But the state was determined that we want to meet these energy goals, and there are a lot of good reasons for doing that. So what they did was issued a request for proposals for developers to make a proposal about how the state would reach this goal of 15%. Oh, and in the request for proposals, for some reason, which is a whole other story, was the added requirement, you must supply a cable to Block Island for electricity. So there was this, that was the criteria. At least seven entities made proposals to the state. Ultimately, a company called Deepwater Wind was chosen as what's called the preferred developer, and they their proposal was basically a two-phase proposal. One that you would put a small wind turbine project farm off of Block Island in state waters, thus facilitating the permitting 3 miles off. And they would use that as a demonstration model, practice with, we talked a lot about supply chain and all what it's going to take to develop offshore in Rhode Island. Bring the cable, the energy from that small farm to Block Island, and then a cable to the mainland that would take the excess power. The 5 to 8 wind turbine farm would produce about 30 megs of power, and some people referenced that earlier today. So just think about it, I already said we use 4.5 on the hottest day in July. It can produce 30, even at 30%, there's going to be excess power. A very large percent of the time, power Block Island would be almost wholly dependent on renewable energy source as opposed to diesel generator. So there's a lot of positives there, one would think. So that process was going on. Now, when the state started this request for proposal, it also started through the CRMC, the process for the SAMP project and the stakeholder process. And so I, as a chief elected official, became Block Island's representative in the stakeholder process. So you have these two things going on. One, you have this planning process for ocean spatial planning. Where do you put things? Where do the right whales go? Where do the ferries go? Where does it, do you know that in there is a place for unexploded ordnance? So once we got into this, we learned a lot about sharing the area. And I will just sort of back up for one moment on definitions. In my case, when I say deep water wind, I'm talking about a company, our preferred developer, not a place in the ocean. And when I talk about the Block Island project, that's the name of the 5 to 8 turbine project that Deepwater Wind hopes to build and develop, but it's not Block Island's project. It's named that because it's at Block Island. So just some technical things. So these parallel processes are going on, things are going on. I didn't know, everything I know about energy and PPAs and PUCs and legislation and energy and megawatts, I've learned in the last 4 years. I have a very basic background in biology. It's general, it's animals, it's not electrons, and it's not economics. So it turned out that going to the SAMP process was hugely helpful for me. It had some difficulties, some things to overcome. It's difficult to get to go to a SAMP meeting on the mainland, because after all, there's nothing in the SAMP study area, but to go to the SAMP meeting on the mainland at 5 o'clock in the evening would mean taking the boat off island, staying overnight, because of course there was no boat coming back. Finding places to be, all those things which Mainers or Islanders are used to. There are some negative expectations. Is this a shell? Is this a put up? Is this a real process? Is the outcome predetermined because the state has this thing going on with the developer? And so why are we, hiring the developer and talking about places before we figure out what place is best? We have the fishermen and all the associated industries, the marine trade industries. All of us, all the stakeholders, and I heard a great definition of that earlier today, all the stakeholders really, I think, wondered whether or not this was a legitimate process or whether or not it was window dressing. And, from my point of view, I'm a little town mayor, so to speak, and I don't know how to converse in these things, and I found out that the people in Newport thought they had a stake in this. I go, really? Well, we're going to look at it. And I go, well, we're in it. So I had to learn a lot of things, like other people have different interests. I go, why are we worried about the Rhode Island fishermen? We got Block Island fishermen we got to worry about. But it all comes down to sharing the area. We learned a lot. If it weren't for that process, so those are some of the negative things: competing groups, negative expectations, concern about the process. But in the end, it turned out to be, I think, a really great process for me personally. I learned a ton of stuff.
I learned how to talk about PPAs and megawatts, et cetera. We at the stakeholder meeting included not only the communities where cables might land or where a boating industry might race around or where recreation might be or fishermen might be, or we learned that those were just people like us as well, and they didn't really know any more. You know, Rick knew a lot more about fishing, but I probably knew a lot more about Block Island, and it actually turned out to be a very good process from that interaction point of view. It also built up confidence for me, personally. I learned the lingo. I learned how to talk about these issues. I learned that I could talk with a developer. Developer was not a big bad guy out there coming to, you know, sell power, or to, not to sell power, to make power and then leave. And that was a very valuable lesson. And I think, and I, again, that go back to the other parallel track besides the state and the SAMP track. Block Island was having to work with the developer. They needed to put up a Met Tower. We had town land where that could go. We had developed, as that sort of development process went on, we had the opportunity to talk back and forth. I will say this developer, my experience to date, is that it's been very positive. They've given us information. They always come forward with what the next step is. They say a lot of times we don't know yet what size the wind turbine is going to be or where it's going to go because this process is playing out. So the education was huge, not only for me but for the state of Rhode Island, and a lot of money went into what is the biology and the ecology of that place. We have learned a lot about the geology, the substrate, the currents, the fisheries, the benthic organisms, and that was a big investment for the state, that the state has made to the good. We're going to learn so much for that. The interaction with regulators, legislators, political people, developers, all of that, you know, it really helped me be able to work for my community. To work with the developers going forward. Would I do it again? Yes, I'd do it again. And where I just heard we're having one more meeting next month, and I'm actually excited to go. I don't care. It's the middle of January. Maybe the boat will run late. I don't know. But it'll be good to see how the group is coming back and learning and what has happened. Because a lot of stuff is still happening. It's a lot to keep on top of. I would encourage anybody who has a similar opportunity to do it, to do it. I think it's great. I learned that, you know, working with a developer has been great too, and we learned to ask for things. You know, we rent property to where their Met Tower is. We were, because of the PUC and the purchase power part of it, legislative changes, we needed expertise to develop what would be advantageous for Block Islands, for instance, the cost, allocation cost of a cable. We got expertise that we ultimately had paid for with money from the developer. It was a very hands-off arrangement, but we said we wouldn't be spending these legal and engineering dollars if not for you applying to do this with the state on our stage. And so it was a very simple agreement. We asked, they said yes. We hired our own person, we sent the bill, and it got paid. We got reimbursed, they didn't even see the bill. So there are things that you can do working with the developers to your town's advantage, and I'm hopeful that there will be other things because I'm hopeful that the project will continue and be successful. One of the things that people were concerned about early on, what if one of these turbines falls down or the project's no good and they just abandon it? Well, that was addressed. You know, it was brought up and they put in escrow account in the joint development agreement and some of the contracts between the state to make sure that money is put aside for dismantling if that should happen. So things that came up in sort of general, we could work with the developer, work with the agencies to make sure that our interests were protected. I could talk way, way more than you want to hear about Block Island in this process. I'll be around the rest of the day, questions. If you come to Block Island, look me up, I'll show you around. One of the lessons I did learn is that one thing I could improve, I wish that I had been better at reporting and communicating what I learned back to my community. And I recognize in retrospect, that sometimes I'm a little bit farther ahead of the gang, so to speak. And I think I have one of the reasons I'm here today is to see what I can learn about bringing my community forward with me, because as any elected official out there knows, this can be a political quagmire. And I said I was Dave mentioned I was reelected, but by only 35 votes. Thank you.